After hearing about the Cheesemonger Invitational, I could not get it out of my head that there are people who can seriously identify cheeses just by their scent. I wanted a pro to help me understand how to do it, so I went to Murray's Cheese in Greenwich Village, New York, and when you walk into the shop, right by the door, there's this grilled cheese station, and the whole place just smells incredible. And then you see all the people huddled by the counter.
All right, who has the number next? Now, raise your hand. Raise your hand and raise, but just okay.
You'll probably hear that voice. That was my mentor for the day, the irrepressible Griselda Powell. She's a cheesemonger, a natural teacher, and she even came with a handout, a cheese aroma wheel.
So, what we try to do is help customers develop a vocabulary.
Yeah.
And when they try the cheese and they're like, ooh, this is good, what makes it good?
Mm.
What does it remind you of? Is there a connection to something from your memory?
Yeah.
So with this flavor and aroma wheel, it's basically broken down into particular sections. It could be lactic, which is basically something that's very milky tasting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, does it taste like butter or yogurt? It could be vegetal. Like, we have cheeses that sort of remind you of cauliflower and broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
Like, camemberts tend to be very vegetal.
Oh, yeah.
It could have a floral taste. We have this one beautiful cheddar from Missouri called Flory's Truckle. And when you bite into it, you taste all these floral flavors that just explode in your mouth.
Oh, cool.
It could be fruity. It could be like toast. It could be animally, a gamey.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something spicy, like it reminds you of cinnamon and nutmeg or something like Christmas flavors that you get when you make like gingerbread.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're just trying to connect these flavors with, you know, something that you can find in that cheese.
It helps build a vocabulary.
It helps build a vocabulary. A lot of our customers feel a bit overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But as a cheesemonger, our goal is to get them to relax and introduce them to the joy of eating cheese and basically break it down for them in order for them to feel comfortable when they walk out, or at least they have them feel comfortable enough that they know they got a good piece of cheese that they can take home and eat and watch Netflix and put up their feet. Get a nice blue and a tiny port and listen to some Al Green or something.
Which one goes well with Al Green?
Oh, okay. This is what I tell my customers. There is this one blue cheese that we get in the holiday. It's called Rogue River Blue. It's an
Oregon.
From Oregon.
I randomly know that one, and it is amazing.
It is amazing. Get that, a port, turn down the lights. Love and happiness, Al Green. Mm. That's all you need
love
in life.
Love and happiness.
Ooh. So we have fun here at Murray's.
Okay, so I'm excited to start this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is cheese number one.
Cheese number one. So just sort of feel it. What does it feel like to you?
It's slightly rubbery.
Yeah.
Soft, not a whole lot of tension. It wants to crack, but it's a little bendy, and now I break it open.
And then start smelling it. What do you smell?
Oh, boy. This is the thing, right? Because I'm like, it smells like cheese. But I definitely smell a saltiness, like almost like standing by the sea kind of saltiness.
Great.
I smell a little bit of, I think in the wine world, they gently call barnyard.
That's barnyard is a very good description. Try tasting it.
Delicious.
Thank you.
I don't get any of that barnyardy, animal-y
mm-hmm.
flavor at first.
Mm-hmm.
It comes through later,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm sort of getting to the end and sort of riding out in a way that is buttery, but not extremely buttery.
Yeah. So what this cheese is called Pyrenees Brebis. So Pyrenees Brebis mm-hmm. is a sheep's milk cheese from the Pyrenees region of France. I like calling it Manchego's French cousin.
Mm-hmm.
So Manchego is also in the Pyrenees region, but in Spain.
Oh, right
so
on.
When you sort of look at the way these two cheeses are made, essentially, what you're really looking at from a difference perspective is really the terroir from the Spanish side of the Pyrenees region versus the French side.
Different weather, different grasses and flowers and microbiome.
Right. I think it has the nuttiness of Manchego. Mm-hmm. But I think this has a little bit more complexity. And the other thing I really like about this cheese is just very approachable, very snackable. Mm-hmm. And since it's also a sheep milk cheese, one of the things that we always notice with sheep milk cheeses is that they tend to be more nuttier, just in general. So when in like the CMI competition, the Cheesemongers Invitational, when they're trying to do so like a blind taste, if you taste something that's going to become really nutty, particularly like hazelnutty, you know, chances are it could be more of a sheep cheese than
something
else. That
helps you narrow it down.
Yeah.
So that was my question about that contest, because I'm like, to do a blind tasting contest, like, I don't know what this cheese is, and taste it and tell me what it is, is it just, you just have to memorize every cheese, or is it, oh, you can actually figure things out as you're tasting?
I think that the key is that there's times in which you can, like, use certain keys to narrow it down. When you start looking at goat, it's going to be a little bit more grassy. And we talk about nutty for sheep. Cow is going to be a little bit more creamy or butterier. So that helps you narrow it down.
All right.
Let's go to the next one.
Okay.
And smell. What do you smell?
Oh, wow. I smell almost like a, it's not quite lemony, but there's a little of like an acidic fruit.
Okay, yes. Kind there's of thing a little bit on. Of fruitiness going on there. To me, I smell a little bit of sourness, like maybe buttermilk or a yogurt or something very lactic.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's try tasting it.
It's funny because I do taste a lot of that tang, that sort of cultured buttermilky tang. Almost like a chocolatiness.
Oh, very good.
It's kind of making like the corners of my mouth start to water a little bit.
A little salivation.
Yeah, from a little bit from the acid, I think. Also super delicious, but it doesn't help anyone anywhere.
This is called Eltavice. This is a French Alpine cheese, which I really enjoy. So when you think about Alpine cheeses, you know, with the cows going up in the Heidi world of the Swiss Alps, it is made the same way as like your Gruyères, your Emmenthalers. Alpine is a classification of cheese, and it's basically how it's made. Basically, they heat up the milk and then the curds. Mm-hmm. From a customer standpoint, when people don't know the word Alpine, they always say, I want like a Swiss cheese. And so what we try to do is steer them from the familiar of a Swiss to something like this with the Eltavice, which, you know, you get a little other flavors. Like I was saying, that whole lactic buttermilky, you tasted chocolate, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And the different Alpine cheeses, even though they're made the same way, they all have different taste profiles.
And how do you know it's an Alpine cheese if you're just tasting it?
Well, first of all, I think the first thing that we were noticing is that it was the milkiness, that lactic. So we know that's, chances are, it's a cow's milk cheese.
Sure, okay.
And when you were looking at how it was structured, the way it sort of like breaks off and crunches, that's a characteristic of an Alpine cheese.
Oh, that's so wild.
Yeah. These are great for fondues, grilled cheese, mac and cheese, anything that you're looking for as a melter. Alpines, that's what they're designed for.
Yeah. It's got a tiny, tiny, tiniest bit of funk.
Yes. And it's interesting you talk about funk, because if a person is sort of like afraid of funky cheeses, you know, we can like sort of introduce them to the world of funk using this Alpine cheese that like the Chef or Max or even this.
Yeah, it's like a Bruno Mars cheese. Like
that's it.
Like,
and speaking of funk, we're going to the next cheese. This is a George Clinton cheese.
Yes.
Okay.
I love it. It's squishy in the hands. It's like squishier than Play-Doh.
Yeah, pasty almost.
Pasty.
Yes.
And when you actually rip it open, it's like a little bit stringy and sticking together.
Yeah. And what do you smell?
I smell like rind, I smell mold, I smell like going into like I smell like a salami.
Yes, it's almost very meaty.
Yeah.
Yes. And also, when you taste it, you need to try it with the rind.
Okay. I get a lot of
taste experience in my mouth, my palate, like around, all the way around my tongue, but like the very center of my tongue, it almost feels like there's like a little island where you can like perch on and not be overwhelmed. You know what I mean?
I love that description.
But yeah, my overwhelming sensation is mushroomy, mm-hmm. foresty.
So this is called Fiaccio del Cabra. It is an Italian goat's milk cheese. Mm. This type of cheese is called a wash rind cheese, and what other people would consider calling stinky cheeses. What happens with the wash rind cheese is that you take this young cheese and you either wash it with a salt water brine solution, mm-hmm. or maybe beer, wine or whatever, and you continue to periodically wash it and turn it. And if you sort of look at the rind, it seems rather orangey.
Yeah.
That orange is basically a particular mold, we call it B-linens. And that's what is developing on this cheese as you wash it.
Mm, okay.
And the B-linens gives it a meaty taste.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, okay.
It definitely finishes very animally.
It's animally, like very gamey.
Yeah.
And that's the characteristic of a wash rind cheese. Mm. Gaminess, funkiness. People always say like stinky feet. I say it's like, you know, that bag of Fritos that you left in your locker in junior high for like 3 weeks, that type of funkiness.
Is that better than stinky feet? I guess.
But the whole notion is that with the wash rind cheeses, those are the particular characteristics. You look at the color of this cheese compared to the other ones. This is a little bit whiter.
Yeah, very white.
Compared to the other two. Goat's milk cheeses tend to be white.
Okay. It's so like another thing you could store in your head.
Right. The orange color in the rind tends to mean that chances are it's a wash rind. The fact that it feels very tacky, mm-hmm. another clue towards a wash rind. This cheese that you just had, the Fiaccio del Cabra, is basically made in a Taleggio style instead of cow.
Mm-hmm.
It is goat's milk.
So it's much more chill, like in terms of the aroma. Yeah.
So it does have some of the characteristics, but you can see how if you make it the same way, but you change the milk, you can see how that profile changes.
And that's another way to start, again,
yes.
piecing together a pattern for how you learn about these things. It's not just sheer memorization.
Correct.
Everything has
a rhyme or reason, yes.
Yeah.
So when you start thinking about goat tends to be a little bit more barnyardy. Sheep tends to be more nutty. Cow tends to be more buttery, a little bit like sweet cream. So that's sort of, those are sort of like the little clues. And as you start learning these, it helps you figure out which direction you're going to. And then hopefully either you can narrow it down, or at least get a good 50-50 chance of, give it down to two cheeses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This is a cool lesson.
Griselda Powell is a cheesemonger at Murray's Cheese on Bleecker Street in New York City. And if you're ever in town, go say hi. She is amazing.